A user joins a licensed group in the morning. By lunch, still no license. Nothing is broken, no error was thrown at creation. And yet the assignment silently failed. There are exactly a handful of reasons this happens, and by the end of this episode, you will be able to list them from memory. Welcome back. Last episode gave you the group toolbox, security versus Microsoft 365 groups, assigned versus dynamic membership, and the nesting limitations. Today we put groups to work on one of their most common jobs, distributing licenses at scale. And before that, we sort out which Microsoft Entra ID edition unlocks which administrative feature. Licensing questions on the AZ-104 exam are rarely about money. They are about which tier unlocks which capability, and why a user in a licensed group did not get their license. Start with the editions. Microsoft Entra comes in 4 licensing options, stacked from a free baseline to a full suite. And one portal fact before anything else. User and group license assignments are managed through the Microsoft 365 Admin Center, not the Entra Admin Center. Remember that split. Edition 1, Microsoft Entra ID Free. It is included with Microsoft Cloud subscriptions, Azure, Microsoft 365, and others. Edition 2, P1. Available standalone and also included in the bigger Microsoft 365 Enterprise bundles like E3 and in Business Premium. Edition 3, P2. Standalone or inside the top tier bundles like E5 and P2 includes everything in P1. Edition 4, the Microsoft Entra Suite, which bundles the newer products, private access, internet access, ID governance, ID protection, premium verified ID, and requires an existing P1 subscription underneath. The memory hook for the tiers. Free to sign in, P1 to control access, P2 to manage risk and privilege. Now the feature split that the exam mines again and again. In the free tier, you get security defaults for baseline protection, multi-factor authentication with the mobile app as a second factor, basic self-service password reset, all the built-in Entra roles, the ability to create administrative units, managed identities, and directory synchronization with Microsoft Entra Connect. P1 buys you the administrative control levers. Conditional access, the big one. Self-service password reset with write back to on-premises directories. Custom Microsoft Entra roles. Dynamic membership groups. Administrative unit administrators. Dynamic administrative unit membership. And restricted management administrative units. And Microsoft Entra Connect Health for monitoring your sync infrastructure. P2 buys risk and privilege. Microsoft Entra ID protection, which enables risk-based conditional access. And Privileged Identity Management, PIM, for just-in-time, approval-based role activation. 3 nuances deserve a slower pass. First, self-service password reset appears in every edition, but the capabilities vary by license. The exam critical line is, password reset with write-back to on-premises Active Directory requires P1 or P2, and for a full end-user reset deployment, the official tutorial assumes at least P1. Episode 6 is entirely devoted to this. Second, and this one causes endless confusion, custom roles. Microsoft Entra custom roles, meaning custom directory roles, require a P1 license for every user holding one. But Azure Role-Based Access Control, RBAC, over on the resource plane, including its custom roles, is completely free. 2 different authorization systems, 2 different price tags, never conflate them. Third, administrative units split finely, creating them as free, but the premium features, and administrator scope to a unit, dynamic unit membership, restricted management units, all carry P1 requirements. Some identity features carry no license requirement at all, and they make good exam distractors. Managed identities for Azure resources, free. Microsoft Entra Connect, the sync engine itself, free. Verified ID, included with any subscription, even free. And Microsoft Entra External ID Core features are free for your first 50,000 monthly active users. What happens when licenses expire? It differs by feature, and it is a favorite trick question. Conditional access policies are not automatically disabled or deleted when licenses lapse. You can still view and delete them, but you can no longer update them. Privileged identity management is harsher. When the P2 or governance license expires, eligible role assignments are removed, while permanent role assignments are unaffected. While we are here, note who actually needs a PIM license. Users with eligible or time-bound assignments, members and owners of PIM-managed groups, approvers of activation requests, and users performing access reviews. Now, group-based licensing. Assigning licenses one user at a time does not scale, so you assign a product to a group, a security group, a mail-enabled group, or a Microsoft 365 group, and every direct member receives the license automatically. Where do you do it? Microsoft 365 Admin Center, under Billing, then Licenses, or in PowerShell, with the Microsoft Graph CMD, let set MG group license. The role you need, at least groups administrator, license administrator, or user administrator. The portal flow for assigning. On the licenses page, choose assign licenses, search for the group, pick which subscription the seats come from, optionally turn individual apps and services on or off to trim the plan, and confirm. Unassigning happens from the product's details page. Find the group's row and choose unassign. Then come the three classic pitfalls, the answers to our opening mystery. Pitfall 1, usage location. Some Microsoft services are not available in all locations, so a user's usage location must be set before a license can apply. With group-based licensing, users without a location inherit the tenant's location, convenient, and wrong for any multinational. The fix is discipline. Set the usage location explicitly as part of your user creation flow. You saw the field in episode 2. Pitfall 2, nesting. Group-based licensing does not support nested groups. Assign a license to a group that contains another group, and only users in the first level receive it. Nested members get nothing. This is the same entrecyte nesting behavior from episode 3, striking again. Pitfall 3, moving users between licensed groups. The order matters. To move someone without service interruption, first add the user to the destination group. Then confirm on the user's licenses page that the new license is applied. Only then remove them from the source group. Do it in the other order. Remove first, and the user is unlicensed until processing completes. Mailbox unreachable. Documents locked. Help desk ringing. Add, verify, remove. Tattoo the sequence. When something still fails, there is a dedicated place to look. The product's errors and issues tab in the admin center. The common error types read like a checklist. Insufficient licenses, not enough seats, conflicting service plans, missing dependencies, proxy address issues, and usage location problems. A few numbers, all of them flow limits of the admin center rather than platform limits. License assignment targets up to 20 groups at a time. The reprocess action handles up to 20 users at a time. The success and failure lists paginate at 999 users. And processing a very large group, say 100,000 members, can simply take a long time. One connection back to episode 2, when a user is deleted, their licenses are freed immediately, whether assigned directly or through a group. Group-based licensing keeps things tidy by design. Leave the group, lose the license. Let's run the diagnosis drill. Maria was added yesterday to a licensed group, still no license. Walk the checklist. Is she a direct member? Or is she sitting in a nested group inside the licensed one? Nested means nothing arrives. Is her usage location set and set correctly? Are there enough seats? Check errors and issues for insufficient licenses or a conflicting service plan. And if the group is huge, is it maybe still processing? That checklist resolves nearly every case. One more drill on additions. Three companies. The first wants conditional access policies requiring multi-factor authentication on all cloud apps. Minimum addition, P1. The second wants just-in-time activation of the global administrator role with approvals, that is, privileged identity management, so P2. The third is a small startup that only needs multi-factor authentication through the mobile app and baseline protection. The free tier covers it with security defaults. The essentials to take away. Four additions. Free included with cloud subscriptions, P1 standalone or in enterprise bundles, P2 on top, including P1, and the EntreSuite requiring P1 underneath. P1 is the control tier, conditional access, password write-back, enter custom roles, dynamic groups. P2 is the risk tier, ID protection and privileged identity management, and on expiry, eligible assignments vanish while permanent ones stay. Antra custom roles cost P1. Azure RBAC and its custom roles are free. Group-based licensing lives in the Microsoft 365 Admin Center under Billing and Licenses, set usage locations explicitly, or users inherit the tenant location. Nested groups receive nothing, and moving users is always add, verify, then remove. Next time we open the tenant doors, carefully. Business-to-business collaboration. How guest invitations and redemption actually work. What that guest object with the strange marker in its name really is. And the difference between the two families of settings that govern external access, including which one wins when they disagree. See you in episode 5.